Let me begin by addressing the handouts that you received. We're not going to jump right into that just quite yet, but I want to point out that the Word is the first sheet. And that particular Word, once the flames of revival are ignited, that particular Word was delivered in January of this year. And if you'll recall, Tim Stemple did about 2 8:30 messages from this. For those of you that are listening that are not here with us this morning, this is in the present day speaking that you can find online and download those. And we're not going to go through this Word in detail like Tim did. But this particular Word was, I felt like it was a very impactful Word. And it was just sent out through the intercessors, the One Voice Praying Ministry this week. Sent it out by email again. And the second page that you have is the instructions for taking this Word and not just reading it once and laying it aside, but actually putting some legs to it, using this Word to bring about the change that's described in the Word itself. But like I said, I'm not going to start out just there yet. Wednesday night, I told Gary as soon as he got done ministering, I said, that message had to come before what I'm going to share with you this morning. And I knew it as soon as he started speaking it. I knew that there was, and the title of that message was The Time Bandit. And that was Gary Carpenter ministered that Wednesday. I'm not sure what the date is, but you can find that online. And I encourage each one of you, if you did not hear that message, to download it, listen to it online, however you want to do it. Because in that message, he gave some instructions, some warning to us about the time thief, about the one that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he made one statement at the very beginning of that message. The enemy comes to steal your time, ultimately your life, and ultimately revival from all of us. He does not want to see an outpouring in this church. He doesn't want to see an outpouring anywhere. And he will do anything and everything to make sure that that doesn't happen. The reason this started coming to me, I was standing here, and I don't remember if it was this week, last week, it was recently. I was standing here, I think I was opening the service, and I happened to glance at that banner, which if you're not here right now, there's a banner on the west end wall of our building. It says, Tulsa is in revival. There's also a banner on the east end of the building. It says, Jesus is Lord over Tulsa. And as I looked at that, Tulsa is in revival, this is what I heard inside. It's becoming wallpaper. And I felt the conviction in my heart. It's becoming wallpaper. It's not fresh inside of us like it should be, at least for me. That cannot be just a slogan that we put on a wall. Tulsa's in revival is more than just is more than just something that we look at. And I know for myself, there are words that I've received that I've printed out at home, trying to be as diligent as I can be. Print the words out. You hang them up, you put them on the refrigerator, and it's almost like you put them on the black hole, you know, because where does it go? I put it there for a reason. I want it to draw my attention, but it's like I look past it. It's amazing how that happens. I want it to be there. I want to look at it. I want it to have the same impact a year from now as it did whenever I put it there. But for some reason, we become so familiar with it, and before long, we're looking past it. And we're not realizing, we're not putting the value behind those words as when we first we heard those. I had a realization about why God sent me here. It hasn't been a whole long time ago since this happened. When I first came here, when I first heard the message about change, to me it was about change for myself. I can see the value in this message to change, to go far enough into God to receive something, but I was only looking at it from the perspective of myself. And at that point, when we were living in Florida, we went to Bronx Church, and I remember the first time that one of the associates there described to me about revival. The very first time that those words were said, we're going to receive revival. I remember that. I thought, that's peculiar. You know, to me, all the years growing up, revival was scheduled. It starts on Thursday and it ends on Sunday night. That's revival. And that's, when he said it, that's what I heard. And finally, after enough time going there, I realized, no, this is more. Revival is more than something that we're going to schedule on Wednesday and ends on Sunday. This is going to be an outpouring of God's presence in our life to see the blind, their eyes open, to see the lame walk, to see 1,000 born again each week in this place. I still remember where I was at when God said, come here. And God said, you're done here. I want you to move there. And for me at that moment, I had no idea why. I had no idea what God had in store for me here. And I know many of you can say the exact same thing. You've come from different parts of the country. All of a sudden, one day, you knew God was sending you here. Well, over the course of time, I've realized why he sent me here. You see, there was a man that a little over 20 years ago God spoke to. And he said, I want you to stop traveling. I want you to take a group of people far enough into me that you can receive an outpouring. Pastor Dave heard that word. He stopped. And 20 some odd years later, we're here contending for that. why I came here and why you came here was very simple. To receive this outpouring. However God used, whatever He used to put you in touch with this message, whatever it was, He did it for a reason. He handpicked you. Whether you're in this room right now, whether you're listening on the internet, He picked you to hear this message of change for a reason. He wants you not just to change, but while you're changing, contend for something. While you are changing, while you're in that process of change, we're joining together to contend for this outpouring. And just like Gary was talking about the other night with the time bandit, the enemy will do everything he can to pull that out of you, beat it out of you. Whatever it takes to get that image out of you of receiving this revival, receiving this outpouring, he will do anything. Before long, it's an idea. Before long, it's not fresh inside of you. It's something that we hear about. But by the time I'm done here this morning, you're going to realize that your part in this is going to require you to have such a fresh image of this inside of you all the time. All the time. And it's not just a suggestion, and it's not just because I'm saying it. But it's our responsibility to do this. Let's look at the word real quick. I took the word and I highlighted a few areas because I wanted to draw your attention to them. I think first of all, he wants me to just go ahead and read this word. So I'm just going to read it real quick. I want you to envision the igniting of a fire. Consider how a small spark can ignite and become a raging fire and how it begins with such a small incident. Now I want to elaborate on once the fire started. Don't forget, in its infancy stages before the fire erupts, and it's only small embers that you're dealing with. I am the one who comes and blows on those embers until a flame ignites. I am the wind. I do what you cannot do. You offer yourself up to me. That's what you do. I go beyond that. The wind of my Holy Spirit blows on your offering. I blow on it until it ignites. I want to warn you and the church, even once the fire erupts, the most vulnerable time for fire is in its beginning stages. That's when it's the most vulnerable to being extinguished. That is what I want to warn you of. Even once the fire of revival is ignited and the flames grow, be on guard, because your enemy will do everything possible, especially at the infancy stage, to try and extinguish the revival fire. Because he knows the longer it burns, the more that it will spread, and the harder it will be to extinguish. So know this, your battle has not ended once the revival has ignited here. It has just begun, because you will have to guard against all the deception that the enemy will throw at you in his effort to extinguish the flames, and in his effort to sidetrack the revival and turn it in such a way that it brings reproach against my name. The enemy knows the longer the flame burns, the larger it becomes, and the more dangerous it is for spreading. Also, do not forget that you continue to need to supply fuel for any good fire to continue. There will never be a time in this revival that you can ignore your personal time with me. That's the fastest way for your part of the revival to be over. Because when you do not spend your time with me, you are more vulnerable for being led away into traps constructed by the enemy to derail you. You have to make sure you are spending your time with me to avoid those traps. I will have my revival, and I want you to be a part of it. Beware of this deception of only being warmed by the fire instead of being immersed in the flames. I did not call you here for you to be warmed by this fire. I called you here to be a part of it, to be immersed in it. My plans for you involve transporting this revival to other locations, destinations. My plans for you are to be that spark that I can blow to other areas where my children are so desirous for revival. I want to use you to carry this flame when it's ignited to ignite others. This goes for many who are a part of this body. There are red hot embers here now. If you want to know where this body is, pay close attention to this. If you want to know where this body is in relationship to revival, envision a bed of red hot embers. Gradually, I am blowing on those embers, knowing that soon flames will ignite. How close is it? It is very close. So it is time now to begin to prepare for when the flames ignite. Brace yourself for the onslaught that is to follow. For many, it will truly be a fight for survival. As long as you are prepared for it in advance, you'll be fine. Do not wait until the fire erupts, because then it will be too late and you will be fodder for the enemy, and he will do everything to try and turn you out of the way and bring a reproach against my name. Is it close? Yes, it is close. Even now the wind is blowing. Even now the smoke is rising. Even now the embers are glowing red hot. And in a moment, seemingly from out of nowhere, flames will begin to dance on the coals. That is how close you are. So do not lose sight of the objective. Do not lose sight. Press in now harder than you ever have. Because what you have hungered for, what you've desired for all these years, I have desired for so much longer than you. I have waited for someone with whom I could pour myself out upon, and it would not destroy him. Finally, we are this close. Press in. Do not hold back. Give me everything that I need to bring this to pass. I want to draw your attention to the last paragraph. So do not lose sight of the objective. Don't lose sight of the objective. Why he brought you here. Why he assembled us together. It's not just to have normal church. It's not so we can get together and rejoice over the revelations that come from this place. As wonderful as they are and as awesome as some of the revelations are that I've heard in this place, we have an objective. And that objective is to receive this outpouring. That's why we're here. And it's going to require change on our part. We already know that. We've already been in that process of change. Unless, of course, this is the very first message you've ever heard from this place, then you have a lot. You have a way to go. But for most of us, we've been listening to this for years, and we've been doing this message. And what I want to encourage you with is this. Don't lose sight of why we're doing it. Don't lose sight of the real objective of the change. I think for a while I thought, this is how I'm going to fulfill my ministry. But I'm realizing something. My ministry takes a back seat to the objective of this house. The objective of this house is receiving this outpouring. And what I want to show you is that that is going to affect each one of us in such a way that we just can't even wrap our minds around. So go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 1. I'm going to use this as an analogy. Now understand, not everything from what I'm going to show you in Acts 1, not everything is going to apply here. And that's where what Gary shared Wednesday night, you have to keep that in mind. Because not only did he talk about the time thief, the time bandit, but he talked about, you know, the real zealous people, the ones that could hear a message like this and think that I'm telling them to quit their job and to hold up somewhere and pray until revival comes. I'm absolutely not saying that. Can I be any more clear than that? I am not telling you to do that. I'm not suggesting you to do that. Really, the whole crux of his message Wednesday night was, you have to continue to live your life, but your focus has to be on your change and receiving this revival. And you know what I'm talking about. You know how there are choices in your life. Taking a job, let's say, that you know from the beginning is going to require you to work 70, 80 hours a week. Do you think that you're going to have time to really spend on the change inside of you? Now, if God sends you specifically and tells you that's the job, you listen to Him. But what I'm saying to you is, if you're doing it, and the reason you're doing it is to have more toys in your toy box, and you have put revival somewhere on the back burner, you've missed it. That's not why God brought you here. Amen? Do I hear an amen? God brought you here for a reason. Don't forget what that reason is. The reason is not to have more things. The reason is not to be just comfortable. The reason He joined you here is so that you can join your faith with my faith, with Gary's faith, with your neighbor's faith, with Dave's faith, and receive this. That is why you're here. And if you've lost sight of it, then that has become wallpaper to you. And I'm pointing for the statement, the banner that says Tulsa is in revival. It's something that you look at and it just, you look right past it. Like I was. Apparently, or he wouldn't have said it to me. So let's look at Acts chapter 1. And again, let me emphasize, I'm making an analogy here, but it's not a perfect analogy. Begin in verse 2. We'll just start in verse 1. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after the passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days. So 40 days after his resurrection, they had the opportunity to spend time, those 40 days, with him. And speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, verse 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he had heard of them, or ye have heard of me. We'll stop there. So Jesus is giving them instructions. What did Jesus, the Holy Ghost, do with Pastor Dave? Gave him instructions. In this case, the instructions were, go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise. In our case, the instructions for Pastor Dave, gather a group of people, take them into me, receive this outpouring. So there we have some similarities. Verse 5, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Go to verse 15. And in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. And stop there. There was 120 gathered themselves together, and they were the ones that were waiting, awaiting for this outpouring. That, put yourself in their position. What was it going to be? What was this Holy Ghost that we're going to receive? What's this going to be like? When I look around here today, we probably have, I would guess, about 80 people, maybe 90, something like that. 120 put in one area, one room, call it the upper room, waiting for something. If you look at chapter 2 and verse 1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come. Now the word Pentecost simply means 50. 50 days after the Passover. Passover, we know, was when Jesus was offered. 40 days he walked with them. So roughly about 10 days between the time that Jesus left and the 120 are in the upper room and the day of Pentecost fully comes. 10 days, 120 people. One day would be a lot. Two or three days would be pressing it. And they're waiting 10 days. They don't know how long they're going to wait, I assume. It doesn't say that God ever told them specific times or dates. They just knew they're going to go there and they're going to wait. Now the difference between that in us, God had a specific date in his mind for when the Holy Ghost was going to be poured out, coinciding with the day of Pentecost. And we all know why. All the people were gathered there in Jerusalem, different languages, They were able to hear the languages being spoke by those that just received the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It was a sign to them. We don't have a date. Have y'all figured that out? There's not a calendar date. Pastor Dave never heard when this was going to happen. And you know why? It's contingent upon something. It's contingent upon us. You know something? In the 20 some odd years, your seat has been filled by other people. Other people that aren't here now. They were here for a while. Maybe they answered the call and Jesus has them somewhere else and they're still attached with this message. It's very possible. What I'm saying is, there's not a calendar date that this is going to happen. This word that I read to you earlier describes we are that red hot bed of embers. How close? How close are we? And in that word it says you're very close. We're very close. But my question to you is this. Do you see yourself that way? Do you see yourself close to this outpouring? Are we, and I'll include myself, are we spending the time to envision the manifestation of this outpouring? To see, am I spending the time to see, just where I close my eyes and I can watch the blind eyes being opened? The legs growing back. How real is it inside of me? How real is this revival inside of me? Because we're going to have it inside of us first before we see it outside of us. Do I get an amen? You're going to have to see it inside of you first before we can see it outside of us. In other words, we're going to have to be pregnant with this. Just like a pregnant person. We're going to have to be pregnant with this. Let me not leave the analogy with Acts just yet. Those 120 in that upper room, do you think they had any idea how different their lives were about to become? Think about that. They followed the instructions of the master. He said, go do this. We're going to go and do this. They went in there not knowing, not having any idea how drastic this change was going to be. And I want you to grab hold of this. This outpouring that we're contending for is going to be drastic. It's going to be a drastic change in your life. Your life will never be the same way again. It will never be the same way. I mean, envision this outpouring as you're receiving it along with all of us together, whether you're in this room or not in this room. And all of a sudden now, the glory of God, you are that carrier of His glory manifested in this world. And you walk down the street and people are falling under conviction because of the presence that you're carrying. I mean, are you seeing that? Because that's where we're walking towards. And if I'm reading this word right today, we're so very close. How close is that in your mind? Once again, I'm not telling anyone or even suggesting that you quit everything and you hold up until you see this. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is this. If the words I'm speaking to you right now, if they are shining a light inside of you that's showing where you have some shortcomings in this area, then you're going to have to get with the Lord and find out what needs to change. What needs to change in my life? Because I'm not seeing it that way. And apparently, we're closer than what I thought. And apparently, I have allowed that thief to steal that image from inside of me. Probably when you first got here and you first had a full understanding of this, you were excited. Who wouldn't be excited? You were excited. You were on fire. But just like Pastor Davis taught us, the enemy, he's like that little drop of water on that rock. Keeps dropping. Drop, 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 drop. Till he just drives a hole right through that rock. A little simple drop of water. He's done the same thing to multitudes of people that have contended for this. He just dropped. Life happened daily to those people, and they turned loose. I want to encourage you. I feel like this message should be really a word of encouragement, because if he's having this word brought forward right now, think about how close we must be and how he's saying, okay, here you are, folks. This is where we are. And all you have to do is reach out a little bit harder, a little bit more. Press in just a little bit more. I don't want to get to heaven and find out that we were on the edge all the time and we just didn't have enough to go in. Wouldn't that just make your heart just ache to find out once we got there how close? And think about this message. Isn't the pure? This has got to be the purest message that I've ever heard anywhere. How you, on your own, can walk into God. There's not going to be another message that's going to lead to revival. There's not. So don't think that you can walk somewhere else, go somewhere else, and find something else palatable. Plus the fact, he selected you and brought you here. Whether it's to this building, or to this website, or to one of the other churches that are part of this fellowship, however you want to look at it, he brought you here for a reason. And that reason is because he has planned for you to partake of this revival. And it is going to impact your life forever. I think I'm finally starting to see that now. I'm starting to see everything else takes a back seat to this. I'm starting to see that whatever ministry he has called me to takes a back seat to receiving this. Don't you know that there are ministers in this room right now that you could go and you could minister many places? Gary could go. He could be on the go all the time. All the time. All he would have to do is say yes. Pastor Dave, oh my goodness, we would never see him. He would be gone forever. But you know what? They're personal ministry has taken a back seat to this. Because of this, the importance of this. Pregnant with Revival. That's the title of this message. It's Pregnant with Revival. You know, if a couple, husband and wife, that's the only kind of couple there is. Procreate. Baby is formed inside mama. Can't tell at first few weeks. All of a sudden, something starts happening inside. Changes begin to happen inside of mama. She begins to carry this child. The child begins to grow, and you start seeing the results of that growth and that development inside of her. What do you think mommy and daddy are thinking about as they watch the development of this child? What do you think? Well, let's ask. Mitzi? And believe me, before I did this, I got permission. Come up here, Mitzi. Let me get you a microphone. Here we have a perfect example. For those of you who can't see, we have a mama. And she is close. How many?
I have about a month left.
Have about a month left before her due date. Isn't she lovely? So tell us, Mitzi, what are you and Jeremy thinking about on a daily basis?
Well, we're definitely thinking about the baby that's growing on the inside of me and seeing evidence of it and imagining what it will be like when she's here, preparing for that.
Exactly. You're thinking about what it's going to feel like the first time you hold her. Right?
Mm-hmm.
What's she going to look like? Is she going to look like Mitzi? Let's hope so. Thank you, Jesus. But it's this time right now that she's in. Probably there's not an hour or two that goes by that you're not thinking about this. Is that right?
Yeah, I would say so.
It's in the forefront of her thinking. When you're pregnant with something, this is what you think about. What is inside of you, what's growing inside of you. And pretty soon, a month from now, what's inside is going to come outside. And we're going to see what has been developing all this time inside of her. And don't you look forward to that? I do. I am looking so forward to seeing this beautiful baby. Thank you. That's what happens when you become pregnant with something. It's not an all-consuming obsession. It's not what I'm talking about. But it's not something that you casually think about maybe once a week. Do you see the difference? There's a huge difference. It's not something I think about just because I'm in this auditorium and I look up and see that banner and it says Tulsa's in revival. If that's the only time I think about it, guess what? I don't have anything developing inside of me. Can I hear an amen? There has to be something fresh in me, working in me, developing this image. If I'm going to have on the outside what I see on the inside. If we are going to have on the outside what we see on the inside. Pastor Dave's got it. Anybody doubt that? I don't. This man, I don't think there's probably much time at all that goes by that he's not thinking about this outpouring. After this many years, to have something so fresh inside of a person. I count it such a privilege that God would bring me here to this message. That He would allow me to participate in it. What a privilege. Do you understand how this will not only impact Tulsa, but how this is going to impact this world? Emptying out the children's hospital? Okay, Lord. I think part of my problem was this. You know how Pastor Dave was talking about the love message? Part of my problem was I just didn't love people the way I should have. I just didn't. And that's where He's taking me right now. It's worship. Worship. Developing that love inside of me. The other day we had an appointment. It was in a medical facility. I was in a waiting area. It's just, you know, nothing important. It was just one of those things. But the waiting area that I was in, it was in a hospital facility. And I was in kind of like this little cubby hole, okay? So no windows, no nothing. It's like, go in here, sit down. Just a small little place. And I couldn't see who the people were around me or outside or anything. And all of a sudden, I heard this voice of somebody moaning in pain. I didn't know where it was coming from. Was it behind me? Were they in the examining area? I don't know. I don't think they were being ministered to at that moment. But when I heard, that moaning, it's not sympathy. But there's something inside of me that it just reaches down inside and it just pulls on that compassion to want to do something to minister to that person. That's what's developing inside of me. That's what the worship is doing. That's what the love that's being created is drawing me towards. You see, as we practice this message, especially the area of worship, the capacity to love someone else is going to bring you to the place that you're going to be willing to lay aside those things in your own life. Hear me now. The things in your own life so that you can be that vessel that God uses to flow through to minister to those people. If the love is not there, you're not going to be willing to die a little bit more. Once this outpouring happens, and according to this word, you see in this word, he talks about the time just after the outpouring happens. It's going to happen, folks. It will happen here. But if the love inside of you hasn't developed that love for somebody else, that outpouring for you could not be very good. We have to develop that. We have to work and see that love developing on the inside of us for somebody else. I want to take you back to the handout. Look at the page that's entitled Prayer Alert Instructions, the Birthing and Sustaining of Revival. Let's go straight to the back page. We're going to make some confessions here. When we make these confessions, all I'm trying to do right now, and all I think the Holy Ghost wants to do, is just get something stirred up inside of you so that you'll take this home with you and that you'll do this. You know, I love calling in the lost. I love the whole idea. But there has to be more than just Sunday night calling in the lost, Tuesday calling in the lost. There has to be time in your daily life where we call those things that are not as though they were, where we say we are in revival now. Because that's the only way we're going to get this thing stirred up inside of us, that we develop this, we see this, we're pregnant with this, this is growing. So that it's not just a distant thought in our mind. So let's go ahead and Father, we're looking at right underneath Matthew 6:11. Give us this day our daily bread. Here's the confession. I want you to say this with me. Father, each and every day I seek your face for the daily bread of life. Not for myself, but to minister to those who are in need. Let's go to the next one. I refuse to be neutralized by the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, choking the word and rendering it unfruitful. I refuse to be neutralized by the enemy. Let's go to the next one. I see through the eyes of my faith the fullness of this revival. And I will fulfill all that you have planned for me in this revival. In Jesus' name. And let's go to the next one. And where I got that asterisk, he gives us that warning in the last part where he warns us against losing sight of the objective. Let's make this confession. I refuse to allow the thief to steal my vision of revival. I see myself receiving, birthing my portion of this revival. My focus will not be diverted in any way from receiving this revival. Now, if any one of those, or if all of them, speak to you, here, take that with you. Put it somewhere where it won't become wallpaper. Put it somewhere where you will look at it and you'll begin to practice doing it every day. And work on the development of this outpouring inside of you. Because we are so close. And we will not be turned back. We will not get to heaven and find out that we were on just the very edge and did not step in. That's not going to be us. That will not be us. We're going to get not just to the edge, but right in the middle of it. And lives are going to be changed as a result. He brought you here for a reason. Fulfill that reason. He didn't bring you here to occupy a chair, and then eventually someone else is going to occupy it, and someone else, and revival never comes. No. We're here. This is the time. We are receiving it. Amen. Amen. I'll see you in 30 minutes.